Welcome to the Project Joy radio show, and good morning, Ashwini.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon. For us on the East Coast, yes, indeed. Just barely.
Just barely. Mm-hmm.
All right, so our assignment from yesterday. Science is organized knowledge. Wisdom is organized life. I bet for most of us, wisdom was a notion that came along later in life than a lot of others. For a while, we're busy just trying to sort out knowledge, not all of it of a scientific nature. How can I make my life work? What should I do to get what I want? With time and experience, we began to question the knowledge we've been given and that we've accepted. Maybe there's more to life than being busy and stressed in the pursuit of getting stuff. Today, see how your growing wisdom organizes life. Record and listen. Very good.
Very good.
All right, let's see what our first caller is up to. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, it's Colin here.
Hey, Colin.
Hello. So with the assignment, I was caught up with that bit at the, about being stressed and getting busy trying to sort out some content. And what I was sort of seeing about it was the wisdom and kindness, really. And the mentor was saying, to come back to kindness, really. And, I was actually trying to organise flowers for a funeral, and the mentor was saying that you just need to be kind here. Don't worry about sort of getting things right. And I suppose what I was seeing was the way things kind of work out for me, not in a sort of predetermined way or not in a random way, but that things, I was a bit frustrated about the way things had gone a couple of weeks ago, and just sort of seeing that it all kind of works out somehow, magically, and to just relax into that, really, and that life is being really kind to me, and I don't really have to organise anything because life kind of does it, really, and to just be with that.
Uh-huh. You know, Colin, I'm going to reflect what you said. I can hear you clearly, but it's a little fuzzy. But I think what you were looking at is how to come back to kindness, that there is stress, there is frustration when we're in something, and coming back to kindness is what it's really about. And your reflection that something that did not go well, if you look back on it, you recognize how perfectly it worked out. Not that it worked out the way you might have wanted it to or in a particular predetermined way, but in the end, when we step out of the stress, we recognize how perfectly looked after we are, that life is kind to us. And from that perspective, it's a perfect response to stress, to trust in the organizational wisdom of life, that it always works out. Because it always does, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. And seeing that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing in this present moment, it's like all that which has gone before has brought me to this moment I'm in now. And so had what had happened not happened, I wouldn't be having the experience I'm having in this present moment. And so coming back to gratitude for that, really, for all that's gone before.
Yes. So the recognition that it's what we talk about in a different way, that everything in life is a gift, and everything in life is perfect because it simply is. And if it wasn't, it wouldn't be. And so to have experience after experience of recognizing that everything that happened before has contributed to the now brings such gratitude. And I project gratitude from that place of recognition that you're always supported. And if we can hold on to that, we don't have to be stressed.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and I suppose for this human incarnation, is that the wisdom is kind of learning that. And I suppose it's the intelligence of that sort of seeing that bit by bit and having more sort of faith and trust that I am being supported moment by moment.
Yeah. Yes, that the human experience, the human incarnation is awakening to how it is intelligence. And I project the practice that we're doing allows us to have more and more faith that intelligence is unfolding, and it's intelligence that's unfolding. And so that ego place of having to be on top of it and in control starts to be something we let go of.
Yes, because it is all out of control, I suppose. Yes, that's right. And seeing that, and then in the midst of it, my car broke down, and I was supported perfectly in that as well, and that all worked outside as well. So it was really great. Yeah.
Yes, and that sense of humor is such a wonderful way of experiencing it. Right? It's what breaks us through to, oh my God, I just surrender and give up. And you either break into tears or you burst into laughter. And then that energy of having to impose that control sort of dissipates into surrender of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great assignment. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was lovely.
Thank you, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. And Ashwini, that just seems so true that oftentimes, for me anyway, that I can see that intelligence is organizing life in hindsight after it's happened, and that gradually I begin to bring that into the moment with small content to start and then bigger and bigger content and just prove it to myself over and over and over.
Yes. I think that's exactly what it's a beautiful way of what Colin was pointing at, which is what you were saying, that our experience of we're supported, it works out, reflecting on how well it went, allows us to then have that experience in the moment rather than in hindsight, as you were talking about.
Yeah. I gradually catch up with the moment and,
Yeah, and then it drops in. It's fine while you're stressed, and then you take that deep breath and let it all go, and then relax into life and go back to that place of kindness.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect.
Yeah. Faith and wisdom.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's get our next caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
So what I saw about this assignment was watch how wisdom organizes life is when I'm not in that conversation about getting stuff, which seems to be at times a constant one, life is always presenting the next thing to do without thinking about it.
Let me catch up with you, Todd.
Okay.
So when you're not in the conversation about getting stuff,
right,
then life is just presenting what is next.
Yes, exactly.
And we're present to that only when we're not in that conversation about acquiring.
Exactly. And what I saw when I was recording about it yesterday is all that acquiring is, in my experience, motivated by a system that promises satisfaction but bamboozles us into dissatisfaction of it's never enough.
Yes. I mean,
that's
that's just the crux of it. Absolutely,
yeah.
So. So if I reflect, that desire is the root cause of suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we get talked into what it is that will give us fulfillment, and then we're on that rat race of acquiring that object of fulfillment because we deeply believe that it's the object that's going to give us the promised experience, only to acquire the object and realize that it's never enough. And the never enough fuels that desire again for more acquisition, and the acquiring just becomes a way of life.
Yes.
And what you're noticing is that when we drop that story, that story of the object is what's going to is going to deliver the satisfaction, then we actually realize how satisfied we are. There is nothing missing in this moment.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, there's exactly. When I'm present or I'm practicing, directing the attention to here, there's nothing lacking.
Yes, there is nothing lacking. And
right.
I think what you're pointing at, Todd, is such an important realization
mm-hmm.
that we all need to experience to actually know and
right.
therefore not believe that anything missing, anything that's lacking is only in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right?
That the whole conversation is a movement away from the moment, and therefore it is the absence of something. It has to be, because it's not here.
Exactly. And what I saw in that is that process, you move from we'll say, presence, satisfaction, center, fulfillment, completeness, wholeness, and in that conversation, you just leave that process into deprivation, lack, wanting, desire. Yeah, and you can just see that movement go back and forth depending where the attention is.
Yes, exactly so. So
yeah.
We make the movement away from complete fulfillment to looking for fulfillment
looking,
where it's
yeah.
never going to be found. Yes,
never gonna
exactly
be found.
So. Exactly so.
Yeah, because we're looking to a system that is lack and deprivation.
Yeah, we're looking to a system that is lack and deprivation.
Yeah.
Exactly so. Which is why the wisdom is in life organizing, right?
Yeah.
Because if we stay with that process, then
mm-hmm.
whatever it is given to us in the next moment, and it's completely fulfilling.
Totally. Totally fulfilling.
Yeah.
And dropping in just moment by moment, like, oh, maybe you should do your taxes. Oh, yeah, okay, maybe I'll do my taxes. Or, maybe start preparing lunch. Oh, yeah, it's 11:45. Okay, it's just interesting. It keeps dropping in. And if I'm present for it, I can just move on it. Or if I'm in a conversation, I miss the information, and I don't move on it, and I can see that at 2 o'clock when I'm starving and I didn't make lunch. I'm like, oh, it's 2 o'clock. I didn't make lunch. It's interesting. Although I remember a quick little quip from life saying, maybe we should prepare lunch.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. So it's so absolutely practical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so practical. I love practice. I was thinking of the practicality of it. Just I think the last couple radio shows, Project Joy radio shows, where people are bringing up content in life, and then the process of the practice was so practical. And that's what
mm-hmm.
my experience is. The wisdom of life, wisdom organizing life, is so practical.
Yes.
It can't be anything other, I guess, because that's what life is. Life is practical.
That's right. Exactly.
Not nonsense.
So. It is completely practical. It's completely practical and completely mysterious.
At the same time.
At the same time. Completely personal and perfectly universal. I mean, you just have to be here for it. To know that it's all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I love hearing over and over and over again is that whatever arises in life, whatever content, like, my car is broken down and I get bad news about such and such in quotations, and it's like, oh, the mentor will drop in, there's a gift. How are we going to receive this gift? Whoa, what can we practice with? What are we looking at? Acceptance?
Mm-hmm.
What are we
mm-hmm.
looking at? Unconditional love? It's just mm-hmm. so beautiful that everything we are given or arises in each person's life is a gift. And I just can't hear that enough. And I record about it a lot.
Yes, and I project, Todd, that it takes all of that willingness to record about it. You know, mm-hmm. we hear it in practice, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. Well, then how do we see it as a gift? We keep yeah. practicing with seeing it as a gift so that when it happens, life can drop in. Oh, it's a gift. And we're yeah. no longer accessing the conversation to make mm. meaning of what's going on. Right. We're accessing that awareness, that wisdom, love, and compassion that we are mm-hmm. for getting here and being with whatever it is.
Yeah.
It changes yeah. our context of how we live, right?
It truly does.
It takes such practice.
It takes such practice, and we hear it over and over again, and it's fun.
Yes, it's fun. Exactly.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's the five practices in the daily recollection, right? Mm. Inquiry leading to loving kindness and pure yeah. attention, ever-expanding faith, and constant devotion. And we just do those five things over and over again. And we have the life experience you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Todd.
All right.
Thanks, Todd.
Bye.
So, Ashwini, if life is very practical, then referring to that conversation in conditioned mind is completely non-practical or impractical.
Yeah, I bet. Yes, because it's complete illusion. It's all made up, isn't it?
It's all made up. Yeah, yeah. And seems like it's designed to use up whatever life force is available, that process of acquiring. If there's any life force at all, then it goes towards acquiring something else or perhaps maintaining all of those things that I've acquired. And, just not a good outcome. Available.
No, not a good outcome. And I project what we're pointing at, right, Chris, that the life force is used to simply maintain the story.
Yeah.
The story
of
dissatisfaction.
Yeah. And even in those cases where that turns out to be practical, there's no happiness in it. There's no satisfaction in it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yes, well, practical within quotes.
In quotes. Yeah. Right. All right, well, let's hear from our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Anybody there? Nope. Okay, let me move on. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Chris and Ashwini, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, I'm so excited I'm on. Just like crazy excited. I'm in a full-on workshop right now, like in my own world workshop. And the quote yesterday, the wisdom and, kind of knowing, figuring it out. So I have been doing my same job for 24 years, and I am exploring taking a new job. And there's a lot of things arising about this job that are super exciting, and there's things that are arising about it that are of concern. And so I've been practicing the two-handed to try to get through, you know, what's fear, what's really valid. And it's really bringing up this karma around being able to, from a centered place, ask for what it is that, you know, I need, like need in a sense of like supporting like the whole being. And do it in a very like clearly communicated way. And so I just watch how, you know, when I, you know, doing the two-handed recording and then, you know, jotting some things down and saying how conditioning just wants to distract from the process, and it wants to make it more complicated than it is. And I'm just like practicing like crazy, but it's been like, it's like I said, it's been really a workshop.
Yes, and I think it always is, right, Tracy? Transitions are such wonderful places to practice, and I love how you're working in the workshop, right? So this is a workshop. First of all, that's an awareness. It's not, oh my God, I don't want to be in it. It's okay, this is here for me to practice with, and you're aware of what it is that's coming up for you. And I love this. This is the example of life, you know, life's wisdom organizing, because the two-handed recording is a structure of life's wisdom, right? The person has the ability to say what it is that's going on for them. Then they are listened to. Then the wisdom, love, and compassion offers a perspective. And then we move into that perspective and feel healed in some way. And then we repeat that process. And through that process structure, what it is that needs to be organized is arising. And the wisdom in that, I think, also is that you are willing to go with the process, right? It's not just, here's the answer. It's an over and over again, a process of organization that comes from wisdom, love, and compassion.
Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. Like, right before the radio show, I did a two-handed, you know, hearing about, you know, all the ways that I'm excited, and then hearing about all the concerns. And so, like you said, it's just that process of organization, and really listen back and be like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. And, you know, and really being able to hold, like, those concerns are valid. You know, there's things that still need clarification, and, you know, I'm in that place of I don't know, and hearing the excitement of, like, yes, I hear you're ready for change, and I hear you're really excited, and, you know, we really want to do this from a place of, you know, taking care of the whole picture, and so it's been, like, it's still so unclear, but just that moving towards that, yeah, like you just so beautifully reflected back, it's that process of organization in terms of the organization of present experience, even though, you know, the whole outcome is still really not sure, because, you know, I can just communicate the next, you know, what's arising and then see what comes back. And oh my gosh, I guess just the other thing I just have to say, because it's all here at the same time, is the koan. I know I brought it up last time I called, but how divine is this? Is this something that, you know, even like something really of surprise came in this negotiation about the contract. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's crazy. That's not going to work. And to move in that place of, oh, how divine is this? Like, you know, wow, there's this reaction of, well, that's not going to work. And can we listen to that reaction, but, you know, but communicate from a response, which is more of, you know, communicating clearly what's arising and that willingness to really hear their side too.
Yes. Yes. I love what you said. It's the structures of practice are our ability to organize present, the experience of presence, right? And so that place of emerging clarity is the process that we're willing to engage in, and that emerging clarity allows us to see there is excitement, there is the places of further clarification, and we get to how do I express what's next, right? Because the process of koan that you're pointing at is never a definitive answer. It's just a pointing to what's next. And so that ability to say, oh, how divine is this, is the context from which we can look at everything in life from a place of inquiry. And when we do look from a place of inquiry, we're moving to center. And so it's the practice of dhyana, right? And that is the organization of the movement to center. It's a life movement in organizing towards wisdom.
Yes, and just that movement, like I see how, and we talk about opening up the aperture, that spirit of inquiry, because from the spirit of inquiry, like I had a call with them. I have another call today, but I had a call a couple of days ago, and I was so nervous going into it. And then moving into that, you know, more expanded awareness of, wow, you know, there can be, like, even though there's some, you know, things that need to be discussed that conditioning's afraid of, if I can move into the inquiry and there's this lightness and, you know, curiosity and openness and that I'm bringing into it, it's just such a different context. So in that inquiry, that the process of inquiry, I don't know where I'm trying to go, but just the feel of it is so much more. Of course, you know, it's what we do in practice with expansiveness and openness, but yeah, just lightness. I want to just keep staying in that place of lightness.
Yes, it's fun. Imagine how, you know, we just can't conceive it from a conditioned perspective that something that as high stakes within quotes as a job negotiation could be approached from that place of center, that lightness that you're talking about, that curiosity, that openness, that willingness to see how it can be compassionate for all, right? It's not that ego position of us versus them, you versus me or whatever else. It's like, here's something that I want to put forward. Let's see what you respond with, and let's come to a place of, it's almost like practice, right? It's facilitation. Here's my process. Here's what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? Oh,
yeah.
This is what you're seeing. And here, and so it's not locked into a rigid outcome. It's not, there's no fear that you won't get what you want because you're willing to be in that process of curiosity. And I project that invites the people you're negotiating with to be in a similar process.
Yes, yes. That feels so good. And that comes up a lot in the recording and listening, just, you know, what's most compassionate for all. And that feeling really good about if the other folks aren't coming from the what's most compassionate for all, then that's not a relationship I want to be in. And so yes. There's even just such, I can relax into the process of wanting to be in relationship with, you know, just like practice of, you know, those other beings that are, you know, wanting to also be in the most compassionate for all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So in other words, you step into the facilitator, right? Facilitating and stewarding this process, no matter what anyone else is identified with. And that's the gift
yes.
that we get to offer when we are practitioners.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong. And how can we negotiate this to a place of loving kindness?
Yes. Oh, I love it. I just can't believe I'm on. I do have a call with him here in a little bit again. And if nothing more, just being in this process and being present to, you know, like I said, the excitement, the fear, the concerns, the, you know, all of it, you know, so it just feels really good that even though I have no idea what the outcome is, that it's going to be done within the process of practice. And so regardless of what the outcome is, that will be what the best for everyone is.
Bingo. I mean, that is so beautifully articulated, right, Tracy? That is life. That is how we get to live life if we live in practice, because we don't know outcomes for anything. We don't have control
yeah.
over them. We don't know anything except what's going on in the moment. And if we have the ability to be with what is in the moment from a place of center, from a place of compassion rather than a conditioned place of separation, then life's just fun. Life is fun, and it moves us towards that place of what's compassionate for all.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. And just hearing you reflect that back at that when I called in last time about that place of control and showing up and realizing that the best contribution that we can be is just to be present. And that's what feels like is the best contribution to this process for myself and for everyone else involved. And how that with the tools of this practice and song and support, that is the best contribution or the biggest.
It's the best way life organizes us, right? We're here.
Yeah.
And then life's wisdom can just be expressed.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, I just can't believe I got on. I'm so just everything is so incredible. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy, and good luck on that conversation. Keep
Thank
us posted.
You. I look forward to calling again.
Thanks, Tracy.
Bye. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, bye-bye. Shwini, that phrase that Tracy mentioned, how divine is this, really feels like it has that quality of stepping back and being available to have wisdom organize.
Yes, it is. It's the movement to recognizing that the context is the intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely true. Very cool. Okay, so our assignment for today. Life begets life. Energy creates energy. It is by spending oneself that one becomes rich. Here we have another way of saying what you do is what you get. And the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. If we want life, we must focus on life. If we want energy, we must attend to energy. With this, we are spending ourselves in a way that makes us rich. Which brings us to another favorite. The more you give, the more you get. Today, find something to spend yourself on that makes you rich with life's energy. Record and listen.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now that
Perfect.
Is a yummy assignment.
That's very yummy. All right.
Well, thank
very
you,
good.
Chris, and let's do this again.
Let's do it. All right. Till
hey,
then.
Everybody. Thank you.